station, we can bring you the king. Because like nobody else, nowhere else, we now introduce you to Eddie the King Faroo, otherwise known as Lewis Price from White Man Can't Jump, the original. Sir, thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure. And what are your thoughts, by the way, before you get into all this conversation with Travis, about a remake of a classic?
Man, I think it's great, man. And I think it's great because it was a wonderful opportunity for me. And I didn't, as we were doing the movie, we never thought it would be so impactful and long-lasting as far as in the movie business and what effect it had on a lot of people. And a lot of people are still loving that movie today. So apparently, because they wanted to do a redo. So that's a great thing. And especially the people who created Ron Shelton, a wonderful, wonderful guy, man, and great director and a great writer. So it's an honor. It was an honor, and it's a great, what do you call it, anticipatory feeling about them doing the show, doing the movie again.
So, Pops, man, excuse me, listeners, you know, I call him Pops, man. I grew up, this guy's, man, like, been a mentor, been a great man in my life for my entire life. So I'm going to speak to him as, it's like, we in the living room like we all are right now. But, Pops, you know, back in the day, man, doing that movie with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, you know, did you see, I mean, at the time, they were both pretty big stars. You know what I mean? Like, you've done a lot of things. I mean, from being a Temptation to being a Drifter to being on stage with Beyonce and John Legend. Like, how was that in your lifetime to speak about how great that was at the time to have two young actors like them and be on set in such an iconic role?
Well, the thing about Woody and Wesley, it was really cool because they had just done them. It just did a couple of movies that had just launched them, and so now they were probably the hottest two young cats coming about. And so it was a great experience because when I got with them, they were so welcoming. You know, both of them, they just received me. And in fact, me and Woody and Wesley, we're still friends today. So it was a great experience because it was a theme that I was so interested in, and I was able to do so many things. I was able to play basketball, which I was, you know, a basketball player coming up in college as well as just loving basketball and semi-pro. And also it was a opportunity for me to sing because a lot of people don't know that I sang a lot of the songs, the Gloria and the Chase, and did a whole, you know, bunch of music on the movie as well. So I not only just had a great time doing all the things that I love doing, singing, acting, eating, and playing basketball, but I met some people who we're still friends to this day.
I was going to say, they talk about the legendary basketball games around Space Jam with Michael Jordan, but you guys had to have some good pickup ball going anyway. You had Marcus Johnson, an ex-NBA legend, Freeman Williams in there. I mean, you guys had some guys like Woody always claimed he could play, but there had to be some pretty good pickup ball going on off screen, right?
Hey, the great thing about that movie was, one of the great things, let me just say this, is that, first of all, it was held like a basketball camp. And so what Ron did, he had everybody come, and we worked out, and we played games, and we had a camp. We had a basketball camp that before the movie even started, we all got together, came there, ate breakfast, ate lunch, played basketball, competition with each other, and it was serious. I mean, Freeman, he was serious. Marcus, I mean, all the cats, you know, the guys, they're going to all try to be, you know, show who's the best.
Right.
And it was great competition all the time. Me and Freeman had to play everybody because they put us together. And Freeman would say, Lou, just give me the ball, Lou, just give me the ball, Lou. They can't hang. And he was truthful because they could nobody stop that brother from scoring, you know. And the same with Marcus and all the other guys. I mean, it was a great cast, great experience. It was ran like a basketball camp. And so that's why even when the movie was done, it looked real because we had gone through a whole bunch of interaction with as far as playing basketball and preparing for it.
And you said you played, but people don't realize Freeman Williams was the number one pick of the Boston Celtics, the eighth pick in the first round in 1978.
That boy. He was when we did the movie, he was still good, man. And I was definitely I could hold my own. because, you know, I hate to say it, you know, because the truth sometimes, you know, is amazing, but I was kind of good too.
Oh, no, I know you was good, Pops. My thing, where did they come up with the name The King and the Duck? Like, where did they just say it's something so iconic that for my era and my generation, you know, we looked at that movie like it's one of the greatest movies of all time. And, you know, The King and the Duck, that to us, they was like park legends. Like, they never existed in real life, but they were park legends.
Yeah, it was like Rucker Park on the movie screen. It was amazing.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I'm going to give you some insight here. First of all, King the Duck, that was Ron Shelton's baby, man. As far as I know, Ron wrote the script, and he came up with this. And Ron was so in touch, man. We used to play basketball at the Hollywood Y all the time. And Ron would just be there battling and playing and with all the guys. I mean, and we had a lot of the celebrities who would come up to the Hollywood Y. And so I used to play there all the time, and I would do my thing. And Ron took an eye to me, I guess. And so one day after traveling, I came back, and Ron, he said, Lou, I met where you been, man? I've been looking for you. And I said, what are you talking about? And I didn't even know Ron was a director or writer or anything. And he said, man, come to my office. I got a part for you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, just come over to the place. Da-da-da-da. So I said, what is this cat talking about? So anyway, I go to the place, and Ron said, Lou, you know, I want you to be the king. I want you to be the king. I said, king? Okay. He said, yeah, basketball legend. He gave me a rundown. He said, da, 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 da. He said, but I want you to do some more things, too. So not only did Ron come up with this concept, but he gave me an opportunity to do so many things in the movie because he knew of me through just, you know, vicariously and interacting, playing basketball every now and then, twice a week at the Y. So he was just a great, great guy, a creative guy, smart guy, and down to earth because he wrote the script as far as I know, you know?
Yeah. And if you had anybody right now, like basketball players, actors, to play y'all position now. I mean, I know you still got it, Pops. I know you can still do it, whatever you know, on the court like you used to back in the day when you was coaching Sierra and Tracy. But like, if you had two people to pick to play those roles right now as the King and the Duck, who do you have anybody in mind?
Well. See, I'm not so familiar with all these young guys that are actors now, especially the ones who can play basketball. I guess if you look at the celebrity games that are before the All-Star games and all
right.
That stuff, you could pick some people out of there. But I don't know, man. It's Frank Glover. You know, it's got to be a combination of popularity as well as athletic ability and believable. You know, so
you think Iverson?
I don't really
you
know.
Think, you think
I, to
AI?
Be honest, I look at a couple of the stars. Kevin Hart, he's a little too tall to play the part. You think
Allen Iverson could play Freeman's
very
part?
Very talented. And, you know, what's his name, would probably be ideal. God, they call him my son, Fox.
Oh, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
You know, because he's hot. You know, he can play a little ball, I heard. He loves basketball. So he would work somewhere in that movie. He would work, you know. It's an amazing thing to be involved in because at that time I was singing. I was singing. My album was coming out. I was singing. I was on a tour with the at a play, traveling all around the world. And then this movie comes out.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lou, you're getting ready to be a star because all these things were happening at the same time, right, Travis? But hey, man, the movie is a launching pad. It's a great movie. I'm so glad that they are going to redo it. And Blake Griffin, he's involved with it. I just hope that he continues to be healthy and prepared to lead the Clippers to a championship.
Ooh, that's not going to go over so well here.
That's not going to go over so well.
So what do you think about Iverson playing Freeman's role?
Wow, that's not bad.
Now, we don't know if he can act or not, but you know he's not going to bow down to anybody in terms of playing hoops.
That's right. That's right. That's not a bad idea. And you know what? That might be a good thing, a good way to go about it, too. Look at some of the basketball players who are really interested in acting and have done some acting parts. So you can really probably think of a whole bunch of guys in that
I'd like to see
in that area.
I'd like to see Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I do.
Jesus Shuttlesworth, Ray Allen, making a little crossover on over to White Man Can't Jump too.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, yeah, Pop. Ray Allen, that's right. But but you know what? They might go with somebody a little more younger. Cause Ray did some basketball movies in that time, so they probably want to just come up with some fresh, clean stuff. You know what I mean?
Hey, Pop. So what you got going on now, man? I know you singing and traveling and doing plays and everything. What's going on in your life right now?
Well, basically, that's what's happening. My wife and I, Faye, you know
course, Auntie course,
Faye,
yeah.
Travis. You know, she's working with me, and we have a production company. We're doing African American shows at different colleges. We do a big Christmas time concert every year. We're trying to do more of the traveling now that we put this production together, and I got a very beautiful, intelligent, talented wife, and she's so helpful. So trying to finish and release my CD, and well, I can't say CD anymore because it's not about CD. That makes me old. But being creative, I got two DVDs out. So doing a lot of stuff, man, and just trying to really get out there and be a little more involved with the social media because that's pretty much where everything is being driven from. You know what I mean?
Okay. Pause, man. We love you, man. I appreciate you coming on, man, and hanging out with us at over at ESPN 97.5, man. And love you, man. Thank you for taking your time and talking to us.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. All right, Travis, love you, baby. And Nick, thanks, baby, hanging there. Okay, you guys?
All right,
thanks.
Take care.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. That's all Lewis right, Price, otherwise known as Eddie the King Farouk from White Men Can't Jump. Those are interviews you just can't find anywhere else.